And I want to introduce my brother Glenn. My brother Glenn. Did you change names on me? My brother Young. You know, again, I say that with you, you know, like prayer is when you pray together, something really beautiful happens, in relationship, you know, when you pray together. But Young, come on up and introduce your family to those that are maybe new here who haven't met your family, and most of us have. And David is just an amazing young man, one of our interns last summer. David, and you introduce the rest of your family.
Sure, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Chuck. Appreciate it. Yeah, so rest of my family is Grace, our first daughter, and my wife, Sunny, Sunmi, and we do have a number of church family that are here, the Box, the Balligans, Chalabois, Laves. They're stuck in, they're supposed to join in worship, but they got, because of snowstorm in Ottawa, the heavy snow, they got stuck in Chicago O'Hare last night, so anyways, and Styles, Reinhardt invited Styles. There's a guy named Styles, so bling bling. Anyways, some of you get what I said, Styles, bling bling. Anyways, so wow, praise God. So I am so blessed to be here with West Ottawa Church family to share. It's more or less the continuation of what I share about last time that I was here at the end of last year in December. Was I here? No, end of November, the last Sunday of November, I was here to share about abiding, and the abiding in love, bearing the fruit of love, is our foundation. And the only love that qualifies in the kingdom of God, only fruit actually, is love, agape love. Because God gave his only begotten son. Why? Because he so loved the world, right? So everything about the Lord is motivated by love. And anything that he does is from that place of love. But we know that it's not from human love. We know that it's from agape love. Only fathers can give that. Only Father God. So I was praying, Lord, for 2026. I was praying, Lord, what word do you have for me? Or even for our local church, which is called His, H-I-S, His Church. I didn't name it. It's the founder who named the church His Church. It's actually registered as His Church. The actual real underlining name is actually called the Lord's Church. But for the sake of making the name shorter, they call it His Church with the capital H, right? So, yeah, I was praying and the Lord said, I believe it's the Lord, not only for me, for the body of Christ, that 2026 will be the year of appropriation. Some of you know that old Christian lingo that we use quite a bit in the back in the old days, that appropriation. So I knew when he said that to me, in means, he meant the Lord say, you guys been believing, standing for all these promises, the personal word of God, and you've been praying and fasting and whatnot. But he's saying this year, starting this year, we will finally be able to see the manifest presence, manifest promise of the Lord coming to pass. So, okay, so only a few of you. Okay, let me share this. I believe Lord wants to see us manifesting his promise, because it's not only for me, actually, it is for those that are around us. So he wants to see that happening in our lives. Amen? Amen. Okay, amen. Amen. I know that you don't have to express, some of you are introvert, you don't have to say that to receive promise from the Lord. Okay, you don't have to be loud. But it encourages me. I'm just being honest. It actually encourages me, right? So thank you, God. Why don't we just pray? Father, we thank you so much. It is beyond human understanding and terms. I don't know how to express this. We have a hard time allowing our son to take the punch for some beloved leader of this nation, whoever that might be, or of the old, let alone sacrificing my son in place of somebody who is my enemy. Father, we're incapable of doing that. And yet, you sent your only begotten son in the flesh, but he is God the Creator, to die for us. What more do we have in the Lord? We have everything in Jesus. Father, the world needs us to shine. The world will only get darker, but we should not fall into despair or depression, because we are the solution that you have planted on the earth. Jesus left his body to be here so we can be the salt and the light. Father, help us not to fall in the trap of the enemy, get depressed by all the things that are happening, but rather help us see everything and know everything from kingdom perspective. You have delegated us the incredible authority to manifest the kingdom of God. Help us not to be hopeless and helpless, but rather manifest Jesus Christ, who is the hope of the glory. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we keep our hearts open to you, and help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the verse that I have received from the Lord for all of us, I believe, for the body of Christ, is John 15, verse 7 through 8. Why don't we read together? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So does God say some or all prayers be answered? I know it's a dangerous question. Does God say some or all? All. But there's an underlying condition, right? It is actually if we remain, if we stay in Christ, and if his word is rhema, but it's, you know, when Jesus said my words, and he said rhema, my spoken word, but now we see that in scripture as a written word. I want to encourage you that once spoken is now written. So they are interchangeable. Amen? So he may speak to us personally, but he will always speak to us in a written word of God. And his essence and his likeness is enwrapped in his word and his revealed action of God. Amen? So the condition is this. He said we can have all our prayers answered, no exception. But it has to be as we abide in his love, as we remain, as we dwell in a fellowship of God, and his word is ingrained into our heart. And as we pray his will, all our prayers will be answered. Why is that? Because we know in the Old and New Testament, God through the prophet or the apostle, he said this, God does not lie, nor he repents, because he's not a man. I'm just paraphrasing. Do we know that, right? Through the people, he said, God is not a man. He does not lie, nor he repents. Why? He's not stuck in our time like us. He's not moving in linear sequential like us. He does not move, and 5 minutes later, oh my goodness, I'm surprised this guy did it. What am I going to do? I got to pull all the heavenly resources. Now I'm going to provide for that so he doesn't fall into that trap. Because he's the one, amen, amen? He created time and space from outside of the domain of time and space. He does not travel from back, past to the future. I know some people think he travels time. No, he's in past, present, and future all at the same time. Okay, that's why he does not lie nor he repents, because he doesn't need to. Everything that he does is perfect because he does everything from that perspective. He is mighty, he's all-knowing, he's all-present, everywhere, all at... I know that somebody made a movie called Everywhere, All at the... Yeah, everything. Thank you, Grace. Everything, everywhere, all at once. But they travel between times and different dimensions. But God is that. So when we pray according to his will, it has to come to pass. But when we do not pray according to his will, it will not come to pass. Because he cannot violate his own word. And that's why we can trust him. Amen? Amen? That's why, because he's consistent. He's consistent. You can always trust the Lord. So, okay. Last time it was something else. This time it was a tissue. So something always falls up. Anyways, praise God. So let's move on to the title of today's message. Yeah. So let's move on to, let's read this together. I wrote this. I was going to just say it, but I wrote it down so we can all see it together with our eyes. Some of you might want to take a photo or write it down, but God is calling us experience the manifest promises and glorious presence of the Lord in every area of our lives, beginning with abiding in His Word so that we ask according to His will. His promises may be fully realized and brought forth in and through us. So what is appropriate? I know the appropriate in certain common English term is this. The appropriate in a biblical, particularly New Testament context, refers to conduct and character that are consistent with God's will as revealed in Jesus Christ and the authoritative teachings of Scripture. But let me phrase it in an easy way. It is knowing, understanding, and believing in our heart to begin to manifest in our lives. It is knowing. How do we get saved? Let me ask some of you who were saved when you became older. You weren't born into a Christian family, but you became Christian later in your life. What happened? Somebody came to you, shared with you information that you did not know about kingdom and Jesus Christ and all the different things, right? Then you said, that's interesting. But most of us almost right away rejected that because it's very weird. It's talking about all these different principles that is not applied to this kingdom, but it's somehow from somewhere out there. Maybe it's somebody who's afraid to die, go to hell, created this different thing. But in reality, that word is expressing the reality of the kingdom of God. And once we begin to ponder that, we say, okay, I understand that now. And what happens? It turns into faith by Jesus Christ Himself. We ourselves have no capacity to believe in things that we don't understand or see. It is Lord Himself. Why? Because Jesus is the author, some of you know, can finish my sentence, author and a perfecter of faith. Human faith produces human result. God faith produces God result. Our faith cannot produce miracle. God faith coming into us yielding to that creates miracle signs and wonder. That's why I said this before, that's why we cannot do 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? One of them is gift of faith, working on miracle signs and wonder. I cannot go into hospital and say, be healed, be healed, be healed. It doesn't happen like that. Why? Because it is as He wills. Because why? We have given delegated authority. We don't have the authority. We have been given delegated authority. This is very important. I just want to share. We have been given delegated authority. Some of you might be frustrated by now that you have received the Word of God or you know the truth from the Scripture, and yet you have yet to see that coming to pass. And I believe the Lord is speaking to some of us or all of us today, because it is very important to understand the process of appropriation, appropriating Word of God. It is just more than knowing. Okay, let's move on to the next point. I just want to give us some nuggets here. So, okay, maybe I need to do it. Okay, there. Is it there or here or there? Okay, sorry. There. So just as how we became saved, I know that, you know, I used to, like, I've been baptized into the Holy Spirit in my early 30s, but I came from a cessationist background, and I vehemently fought those who got baptized and prayed in the tongue. I hated them. I called them demons. You know, I didn't understand any, because I came from that cessationist background, thinking that people speaking was praying the tongue of the demon. Yes, they're tongue of the demons, yeah. Because it's a spiritual pathway that God laid down, and the enemy uses same spiritual pathways. How many of you know? Some of you know this, right? Even some Muslims, some Buddhists, they meditate, they contemplate, they fast, and they pray, they write prayer journal, and they wash themselves clean, and they pray in demonic tongues. They do. So I know that some of us made a mistake in some of the charismatic circle. They said, well, only we can pray in tongues. Yes and no, only we can pray in tongue of the Holy Spirit, spiritual tongue. But the spiritual tongue of the demons are available for the other people. So when we only say that only we can pray the spiritual language and you see the manifestation of the other demonic language, we kind of put ourselves in the same bracket, but we're not. Amen? Just a nugget there. So number one understanding of why we need to appropriate is if we properly appropriate the Word of God, we know and understand God's kingdom. Like going back, I didn't understand this process. All I did was when we had house church, I just lay hands down without saying anything. Just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By His grace, there were a number of people that received that. But some struggled, and later on I found out because they had no understanding of what that is. You can't just do things without explaining or teaching. Even in Book of Acts chapter 2, after Peter talked about, you know, be saved and all that, he says, with many teachings. He further continued to talk before they got baptized in water. I know from our perspective, it sounds like he did a nice, like a preaching, right? One message of the being saved, and people, yeah, I want to be saved. No, he continued to talk, continued to explain. Then they got baptized in water, just like Jesus. Jesus taught a lot. So it is very important for us to put a language behind some of the supernatural things that we experience from a kingdom perspective, believing that Holy Spirit in them will help them to understand. Amen? So knowing and understanding God and His kingdom is very important. Why? We have right now current cultural clash between a people who try to marry the ever-evolving cultural norm to the kingdom message, right? They say, well, this is okay, that is okay, this kind of lifestyle is okay, that kind of lifestyle is okay. But in reality, we have become a new creation. We have shed the old desires, desire of the flesh, the old thing. They may linger on as we continue to sanctify our mindset through the Word and a presence and a love of Father. But in the meantime, we have to understand this. So lack of understanding of that has now divided the church. So it's very important for appropriating the Word of God. So that is one of the reasons why. Number two, a victory over the world. Without understanding, okay. You guys have the freedom to, thank you, freedom to change the slides. Victory over the world. Because we, think about it, okay, maybe. Okay. Think about it. We talk about this all the time. It feels like the rug is being pulled under us. I'm an immigrant, and there are many immigrants that are in Canada. My parents immigrated to Canada in the 80s. You know, they invested as an investor's entrepreneurial visa. That was a pilot project. They came as a business owner to Canada. One of the main reasons why we came to Canada, because we loved Judeo-Christian culture as a foundation of Canada. You know, we have freedom, but we have a charity because the people are charitable, because we have a Christian culture that actually promotes Christian morals, right? But right now it feels like culture is changing. But if we do not understand that we're of the kingdom, we would begin to panic and go crazy. If we think that our citizenship of Canada is the main thing, is priority number one, of course I would panic too. But if we believe our citizenship, our place is in heaven with Christ, and we represent heaven here first, yes, we would intercede. Yes, we vote for the right person. Yes, we participate, because unlike Romans when Paul wrote it down, there is imperialism. Right now we have the democracy where we are able to vote. And back then when Paul wrote it down, we were unable to. That does not mean we go crazy, gung-ho, put our resources, try to change the culture. No, we change the culture by as a byproduct of what? Some of you know this, discipleship. If we change one person and that person will change the other, and the heart of the nation is transformed by discipleship. That's how this nation was built, through transformed people. Anyways, so victory over the Lord for having the right perspective. Amen? Not panicking like the people of the world, but being solid, being anointed. You know, understanding, speaking the authority of God. Third, it's very important. It's incredibly important. What is Buddhism looking for? What are they looking for? Peace and joy. One of the main things that people of this world are looking for is peace and joy. And it's a gift. It's not forced. We cannot just take that. Peace and joy is a gift from God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He gives us gift of peace. The fruit of the Spirit starts with love, which is one single fruit of love, which has many facets: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is a gift. Self-control is not something that I do. Self-control is a byproduct of my surrender to the Lord, and He is in control of my life. Amen? So that is it. Wow. Amen. I'm speaking to the choir this morning. Okay. So peace and joy, that is so important. And fourth, filling of the Holy Spirit. So when we appropriate, when we understand the scripture, we know. I asked ChatGPT the other day. I don't use it too much. I don't like it too much. But I use it sometimes to ask weird questions. I asked, because I used to be part of that, you know, body of Christ who didn't understand. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't see the scripture and try to see everything through the scripture, but we try to see our lives and try to interpret scripture based on our lives. I asked ChatGPT, is there a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, and ChatGPT says, some say do, some say don't. And I say, what does Bible say? The Bible say, does not say it stopped. Bible does not say it stopped. But ChatGPT would not answer that until I ask like 5, 6, 7 different ways. It says it does not apply. No, I ask, where does Bible say baptism of the Holy Spirit does not apply? ChatGPT say, there are none. I cannot tell you. But many people believe it doesn't, but I just say it does. Like weird, you know what I mean? But filling of the Holy Spirit is very important. Going back to the Holy Spirit, why? What happened? Second time, after Peter and John, they were whipped by the leaders not to preach the good news. What happened? They gathered together as they prayed. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again, and the whole place shook. And they were emboldened. They were filled with boldness to continue to preach the good news. Holy Spirit, one of the major things, is being filled with the Spirit so we can be bold to be witness, especially now. Ever-changing cultural and social climate. I think I shared this last time. I was at the gym the other day. I'm at Good Life now. I was at Mubadi a few months ago. There was a young man who was filled with zeal and a passion, and is talking about Quran to the other younger guys. He was not ashamed. He was bold and courageous. He didn't care about repercussion. And nobody stopped him. I'm not saying we should do that. I'm saying when an opportunity arises, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit and do that. So filling of the Holy Spirit is very important for why we need to be appropriating the Word of God and the presence of God and the love of the Father. So let's move on to... now I understand why we do it. How do I do that? How do I appropriate? So first point is exactly the same thing. Know and understand the Word of God. Without knowing, we fall into the trap. Some of you were wounded. Some of you went through sickness. Probably some of you go through financial, relational. So in the life, even though that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the epitome of spiritual maturity is not abundant finance. It's not abundant health. Even though God provides, even though God heals, it's not the epitome, because when we look at it, the apostles didn't have that. Sometimes they had abundance, sometimes they had lack, sometimes they were healthy, sometimes they were sick. The epitome of that is not that. But we go through that, right? But there are many different teachings that may contradict the scripture and give us false hope, give us false understanding on our authority. Remember I shared that we have delegated authority, we don't have the authority. What does that mean? Let me share that with you. Delegated authority means that Jesus is the head. We can say and do whatever we want, but unless it is Jesus doing it through us, it will not happen. We cannot tell the mountain to move without the authority of the Father, telling it through us. Let me rephrase this. If Jesus, the Son of God, said what the Father was saying, only saying what the Father was saying, and if Jesus was only doing what Father was doing, are we saying we're better when we're just commanding God to do something, when we're telling God to do something or doing something out of our whim without understanding? I was a fool who over-exaggerated some of the teaching. Yes, God heals. Yes, God provides. Yes, miracle signs and wonder. I've done all that. Yes, He heals the sick and all those things. But out of my desperation, I did some stupid things, like declare some things and even persecuted my wife to do it with me. Do I believe God does, like, beyond what we can think or believe? Yes, amen. He does that. And, you know, He can do all things through us. I believe that. But it is He. Let me repeat that. He can do all things. Is it me? No, He can do all things. So sometimes, out of our desperation, out of our passion to be relieved of some of the pain and discomfort and insecurity, we may hold on to some of the teaching or some of the word out of context and just blurt it out or shout it out. And one of the examples is when I lacked finance, I have received envelopes and things like that in front of my house before, so I'm not saying God doesn't do that. Out of that, I said, there was a teacher who taught this. I'm sure it happened to him. I don't think it was for the entire body without God speaking to the individuals. I said, money cometh to me. Some of you heard this. Money cometh to me. Come on, money, come to me, right? Because I was about to lose the house. But what happened there? He didn't tell me to do that. He can tell me to do that. I don't doubt that. But is that a general truth for the entire body of Christ? No. Most often He provides through people, whether you work somebody and God provides through the business, right? Whether you do a ministry and He provides through the partners, God does that. But you're obeying God. You're not just asking something and hoping it would happen. But sometimes we overstep our boundary of the authority that Jesus has given to us. Amen? So it is very important. I just want to highlight. It is very important. Otherwise, we fall into this trap of constantly praying and nothing happening, and getting angry, getting madder, being disappointed, losing faith. At one point, I said, God, if you don't do this, I'm going to quit. I threatened Him. He didn't come through. You know what He did? He gave me such a love and grace, I repented. My situation did not change, but He gave me His love, comfort, and joy. And I, Lord, I repent. What fool was I in the morning? So that happened. Number two, meditate and contemplate on the Word of God. We need to meditate and contemplate on the Word of God. The culture that Scripture was written at the time was oral, right? They memorized everything. So it is very important for us to develop and cultivate spiritual discipline to meditate and contemplate on the Word of God. Amen? It is very important. Third, we encounter God. So we can bypass knowing and meditating. We can bypass reading the Scripture. We can bypass meditating if we have encounter with the Lord. Like I did in the evening, once I encounter the presence of the and the love of God, I understood. I just released. I had a faith. But I just want to emphasize, I know that I was part of the denomination. I was Catholic. I was Word of Faith. I was all these super hyper charismatic, all those things. They all had really good things, but they all had certain aspects that if you don't pay attention by the Scripture, with the Scripture, you get, you know, lopsided. So let me repeat this. Believe in our heart, we cannot manufacture that on our own. When we remain in the presence of God, He turns that in to the faith, the gift of faith. That's why many of us read and read, and I know somebody who read Bible 100 times, and they live a most dry, most empty Christian life, constantly rebuking other people. But Scripture is very important, and meditation is the key. But it's an incubator for the Word of God that's permeating in us to come to life. We cannot conjure any of the miracle signs and wonder, no matter how hard we read it. God does it through us. Amen? That's the limitation of our authority. It's not like Jesus. Number four, action and manifest. So action and manifest is always the byproduct of the working of the Holy Spirit. Always. Always. There are hit and misses when we heal the sick and raise the dead. There are many mysteries we don't know. We know the heart of the Father is what? He sent Jesus Christ to die for the entire humanity. But somehow there are mysteries why people are not saved, right? It's not like everybody, when God lays down a gift, it's not like everybody's automatically saved. We're not a universalist. We believe everyone is automatically saved. There are free will that's work here. So action and manifest, God works through us, but it requires human participation of us willingly yielding to that. We cannot say, God, move my body to do this. We cannot say, God, move my bank account to give. It doesn't work like that. One of the main reasons why I couldn't pray in the tongue after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit for months was the very last, well, of course, I had to repent for persecuting other people. I had to repent for, like, cursing God, thinking he was a demon. I cursed demon, but it was the Lord, all that. But the last one was, I thought Holy Spirit had to flap my mouth and move my tongue. Yeah, I thought he would have to do that. That's the only way. That is the Lord. I could not click in that it requires human will to willingly take that step of faith, first step. So some of you get this. I know all of you get it, but yeah, so amen? It is very important. It is very important. It is very important for us to begin to appropriate and to manifest the word and the promise of the Lord starting this year. Amen? So let us no longer live a life unfulfilled. You know, unfulfilled prayer, unfulfilled promises and hope and all that. And constantly be dejected and feel like rejected. And God does not favor me. How come he favors others more? And all those different talking of the enemy. Or, oh my goodness, we're going to lose Canada and all these different things. But let us really see and understand everything from kingdom perspective as sons and daughters. And I know some of us, we pray and contemplate that we've been doing it for so long, we often hear direction and leading of the Lord through Holy Spirit. But some of us, we need to cultivate and develop reading a scripture. So I think we have prepared some, we're not going to distribute it right now, but we have prepared some, there's a prayer aspect of it. There's a scripture. 1 year New Testament reading plan that you can read Monday to Friday, and you end up reading the entire New Testament for 2026. There's a section there that says prayer list for 2026. So I believe that if we go through that plan and seek God and meditate and slow things down, in a kingdom, we slow things down, right? We slow things down. We contemplate, we seek God. And at the end of the year, I want to encourage you guys, we're going to do it in our church too, that we could share a testimony at the end of the year, sometime in December, of all the prayers that he has answered. And maybe some of us will find out why that was not answered. Go back to scripture. Oh, maybe that's why. Amen? So let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us your living, breathing, moving Word of God and manifest Word Jesus Christ to abide and to dwell, to live and to create a habitation in our lives as we are called the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Father, we are residing in two places, sitting on the right side from Jesus Christ in the heavenlies and also on the earth. Help us not to see everything from earthly perspective, but help us to see from top down, from heavenly perspective. Help us understand the mind of Christ. Father, you said in Romans 12, do not be conformed, but renew our mind. Father, we have the mind of Christ. Help us walk in sanctification by replacing the things that we think that is normal in this world to things that are normal in a kingdom, in Jesus' name. Father, help us walk in that hope because we're praying and living according to your will. Father, help us go beyond just being saved. Father, your salvation is conditional. It is conditional upon us receiving it. If we don't receive it, we're not saved. Father, help us go beyond just being saved to making Jesus the Lord. Help us not to live the life as us sitting on the throne, but rather Jesus sitting on the throne as a new creation that we have become, living and breathing and functioning and loving as the Lord will, not as I will, not as we will. Father, help us to continue to have communication as we read and meditate. Father, is this right? Father, what does this mean? Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me. Holy Spirit, help me to get connected with the Christian who's been walking in fellowship with you. Help me to walk in relationship with you, not only with you, but with the others. Help me to shed this worldly mindset. Help me to shed this orphan mindset. Try to please you when you're already pleased. Father, help me to shed, oh, poor is me, this attitude. For we are persecuted. Of course, we go through challenges and suffering. But we're not of this world. Father, help us understand all that, so we can truly shine brighter and brighter and brighter and bring solution and hope into those people who are looking for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you, I want to encourage you, either you can remain seated and allow Holy Spirit to minister to you where you are. But some of you, if you want to come up and if you want to break that habit, if you want a little push from Holy Spirit to finally read the scripture, read His word on a daily basis, finally want to contemplate, if you want to break that cycle as an act of faith, I want to encourage you to come up. Or if you want to stand for something that God is saying as I share a message, I want to encourage you to come up. We don't have to minister to you as a sign that you are doing it for the Lord. Not for me, not for anybody, not for West Ottawa. You're doing it for the Lord. So I want to encourage you to step up and receive ministry from the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.